Amen. It's good for us. Praise the Lord. It's not the same sermon, but it's the same verses. Amen. And we want to go back and look at them just one more time. Amen. We want to turn now to the book of Hebrews. I'm sorry, I want to go to the 11th chapter. I could do 13 too. It doesn't really matter. Just wherever, but amen. It's all good, isn't it? It's all good. But let's go to the 11th chapter, verse 39. And I'm going to read down into the 12th chapter through verse number 3. And it said, "And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." Now remember, when Paul wrote, or whoever wrote this letter, many think Paul wrote it, others think he didn't, but there was no verses, there were no chapters. It was just a continuing thought. So it just flows right into the next phrase and said, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Amen. Praise God. Hey, folks, we're in a race. Amen. We're in a race. I was trying to get a title. Man, I tell you what, I got umpteen titles for this message tonight, and I really couldn't settle on one. Thought about life in the arena. Come run with me. Blessings from the bleachers. Amen. I got all kinds of, you just choose one and stick it on there. It'll be all right. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I do have a message I'd like to share with you tonight. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Very interestingly, this chapter of Hebrews is called by many the Hero's Hall of Faith. And so all through this chapter, the chapter 11, are the great heroes of the faith. Their names are written. You would recognize them as we read through. We're going back quickly to verse number 4. It says, "By faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham." Amen. "By faith Moses, by faith Jacob, by faith Isaac, by faith Joseph, by faith. It lists all of the great heroes. It talks about David, and it talks about Samuel, and it talks about Samson, and it talks about Gideon, and all the great men of faith, and their exploits are quickly mentioned as we roll through these chapters. It talks about some women that believed and had their children raised from the dead. It talks about Daniel that was delivered from a den of lions. It talks about the three Hebrew children that were delivered out of the fire. It goes on and talks about all of these. And then beginning here in another verse, verse number 36, it says, "And others." And then it begins to list some folks that were not delivered. Well, there's some things tonight that We like stories with great endings, don't we? We like stories about how God stopped the lion's mouth. We like stories about how God kept them in the fire. We like all of those kinds of stories. How God delivered Peter out of prison. But there are some others. There were men like Zechariah and like Jeremiah that were stoned to death. Prophets of God. Men like Isaiah, they literally took a wooden saw and cut him in two pieces with that saw. God did not deliver them. He allowed them to die. But I want you to know something. They died in the faith. They died in the faith. They didn't give in. They didn't give up. They kept on believing to their last breath. They were not defeated. They were not destroyed. Amen. And he talks about some others. There was a time in the history of the church. There's a period we call 400 silent years. Malachi was the last of the prophets. When he laid down his pen, there was not another inspired pen until the New Testament began. And through those 400 silent years, the Jewish nation went through a lot of things. And 170 B.C., there was a man who was the captain of Syria, the king of Syria. His name was Antiochus Epiphanes, and he wanted to conquer Egypt, and Rome stepped in and said, "You can't do it. You got to go home." And he got angry. So on his way home, he stopped in Jerusalem and ransacked the city. History says, according to Josephus, the historian in Antiquity of the Jews, he says that 80,000 Jews were murdered. 10,000 were taken captive. And he took some and he put them on wheels and spun them around and over fires and cooked them. And I'm just going to get a little specific here tonight because I want us to appreciate what some people went through and held on to their faith. There were others that they put on gloves that had metal strips in them and they literally clawed the flesh off of their bodies. Amen. And yet, they held on to their faith. All they were asking them to do was to eat pork. But because they were Jewish, they said, "We can't do that. We can't do that." And they would not. Amen. And so, all kinds of things. Some of them, they had to flee to the mountains. And they lived in a harsh environment and somehow survived, some of them, by the grace of God. He talks about them here. Others had cruel mockings and scourgings. And scourgings means that they were beaten with whips. And moreover, of bonds and imprisonment, they were stoned. That's not talking about marijuana. That's talking about rocked to death. They were sawn asunder. That was Isaiah. They were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom this world was not worthy. That means they were good people. They were godly people. But they suffered persecution. And they prevailed. They did not give in. They did not give up. Amen. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. I just want you to know something, folks. Somebody paid a price to bring this down to you. This was not delivered to you on a pillow of ease, but somebody paid a price to get this here. Amen. Let's not take it lightly. Amen. Let's appreciate what we have here today. Amen. And the Bible says that these people didn't even have the Holy Ghost. They never received the promise. It wasn't available to them. They didn't talk in tongues. They were not baptized in Jesus' name. They lived before the promise was fulfilled. Amen. But the Bible says that they obtained a good report through faith. Because they did the best they could in the time they lived with what they had. And they were faithful to God unto the end. Amen. And then he says, but they received not the promise, God having reserved some better thing. Everybody say a better thing. For us. Amen. No matter how good David had it, the Holy Ghost is better. No matter how good Solomon had it, the Holy Ghost is better. No matter how good Moses had it, the Holy Ghost is better. No matter how good Abraham had it, the Holy Ghost is better. God reserves some better thing for us. And then he said that they, without us, should not be perfect. Amen. It sounds like they were pretty good, but God wanted to complete something. What I want you to get here tonight is they started a fight and we're in the same battle. The fight is not finished. We're still battling like they battled. Amen. We're still going through some things like they went through. They lived their life in the arena. Paul goes on here in this next verse, and he begins to describe a scene that was familiar to the Greeks and the Jews of the time. He describes a vast stadium. Amen. And everybody that's ever been to a stadium, it's got a field or an arena down at the bottom, and it's surrounded by these bleachers where people are sitting. Amen. And Paul is describing the story. He said, "And wherefore we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Amen. Hey, it's our day in the arena now. Amen. It's our time to pick up the sword. It's our time to pick up the baton. It's our time to preserve the truth. It's our time to love it. It's our time to preach it. It's our time to live it. Just like they did in their day. He said, "Now it's your turn." Amen. I don't know if you've ever run in a relay, but a relay race is very important. Amen. No matter, it doesn't really depend on the distance. But if you run a mile relay, there's four people. And each of those four people runs a leg or a part of the race. And one starts out and he's got a baton in his hand. And he runs that race. And when he gets to the quarter of a mile point, he passes it off to the next runner. And he does his very best. He gives it all that he's got. And when he gets to the quarter of a mile, he hands it off to another runner. And then he runs his race. And then when he gets to the last, I'm telling you, friend, whenever you're planning the strategy of a race, you don't put your slow poke at the end. Amen. When you get to the end of the race, you've got the one that's got the most heart. Amen. He's the guy that in his mind, he's thinking, there's been three men that ran before me and they gave everything they had to get us to this point. I can't let them down. All the training that they've gone through, all of the effort that they've expended, the coach is counting on me, the school is counting on me, my compadres here, they're all counting on me. And so when he feels that baton touch his hand, he digs down to everything that he's got. It doesn't matter who's ahead of him. It doesn't matter if he's in last place. He says, "I've got to get to the finish line. I've got to give it all that I have. I'm not going to get discouraged. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to lag. I'm going to give it everything that I have." Amen. I got a feeling tonight, God in His wisdom matched you and I with this generation. I've heard people say, "Oh, I'd like to live when Jesus lived." I want to live right now. Because God matched you and me with this generation. God said, "You're going to fit just right here." Now, I don't know what you think, but I think we're really close to the end. And I know that God, I appreciate our elders. Oh, how I do. Amen. I thrilled at what Peter did and what Paul did and John and James and all the rest of them. But let me tell you something. God reserved us to the end. God reserved you and I to a time when there's 6.8 billion people on the face of the earth. And God said, "I have matched this church with this generation." And we're in the last leg of the race. Amen. Friend, it's time to give it all you got. I said, it's time to give it all you got. This is not a time to hold back. I get so frustrated sometimes when people don't know what they want to do. One day they want to live for God, and one day they want to give up. Amen. Praise God. Well, I better be careful. I might preach a little bit here. Amen. Praise God. Come to church, somebody don't shake their hand, they get offended. Not going back to that church, nobody shook my hand. Well, if you're in this for a handshake, you're not going to last till the water gets hot. Somebody said something that hurt my feelings. Get a tough skin, buddy. That's not the worst thing that's going to happen. And that's not the last time it's going to happen. Hey, man, it's time to understand I'm not in this race because I'm here to receive accolades and I'm here to receive the praise of men. But I started this journey with Jesus Christ and I'm going to finish this journey with Jesus Christ. Amen. This is not about a popularity contest. Amen. This is an endurance race. And the only one you got outruns the devil. Amen. Somebody said of the Serengeti, they said every morning a lion wakes up on the Serengeti and he realizes that if he's going to make it through the day, he's going to have to be able to outrun the slowest gazelle. And every day a gazelle wakes up in the Serengeti and he realizes that he's going to have to be able to outrun at least the fastest lion. Brother Fry taught me about bear hunting. He said, when you go bear hunting, never go bear hunting with anybody that can outrun you. That's the simple rule of hunting bear. Make sure you hunt with somebody that's slower than you are. We're in this. It's an endurance race, folks. We got to finish what we started. Amen. Here's the thing we've got to keep in mind. We're not just running this race for ourselves. But those people I just told you about, they started the race. And I'm running for them. I'm running for Adam and Eve. I'm running for Abel and his righteous blood. I'm running for the prophets. I'm running for Moses. I'm running for David. I'm running for Jephthah. I'm running for Samson. I'm running for all of those that were behind. I'm running this race for them. It's the same race. It's the same race. They pass the baton down through the ages. I can't stop. It's too important. This is not about me. I'm just a little part of this. There's a vast crowd. The Bible says we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. And the word witness means martyr. We're compassed about with this great cloud of martyrs that are around us. People that gave it all. Amen. Peter's there and John is there and James is there and Paul is there and Bartholomew is there and Thomas is there and they're all saying, come on, come on, come on. You know what makes me excited tonight? But if the Apostle Paul came into this church and he saw you clapping your hands and he saw you with your eyes closed and he saw you with your hands raised and he saw tears trickling down your cheeks, he'd feel right at home. If he heard somebody saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord, freedom, 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 he'd be on his feet saying, yeah, that's the church I was a part of. That's the way we used to do it in the first century. Hallelujah. Can you imagine what would happen if Peter was sitting on a pew somewhere and the preacher got to saying, hey man, then Peter said, repent. You think he'd sit on his seat? He'd be on his feet. Hallelujah. Repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He'd be saying, yes! That's the way we used to preach it when I was in the race. That's what we did when I was in the arena. Amen. I got a feeling they'd be pretty disappointed if they went to some places. When they had polar bears on the pews and an icicle in the pulpit. He said, that's not the way we did it. Amen. This thing was born in fire and smoke won't do. Amen. We got a cloud of witnesses around us. And they're saying, you can do it. I know what it costs. I've been there. Look below your feet. See that sand stained red? That was my sacrifice. That was my blood. That was what I donated. That's what it cost me to run my race. That was my time in the arena. Now I'm in the bleachers and I'm cheering you on. Amen. You just go back through the pages and you can read their testimonies and you can be inspired by their stories. Amen. And they're saying, run on, run on, run on, run on. So the apostle gives us great guidance here with his words. He said, we're compassed about. We are encircled. We are enclosed by this great cloud of witnesses saying, go on. Amen. Praise God. And then he said, I want to help you out here. He said, so you got to lay aside, you got to cast off, you got to put away every weight. Now when you're training for a race, it's okay to carry weights. If you're training for a race, it's okay. A lot of people, when they train for a race, they put weights around their ankles so that it builds up the strength that's in their legs and it builds up their muscles and they'll carry a weight on their back because they're in training. They're not in the race yet. And they're just building up their strength and they're building up their stamina. But when it comes time to run the race, you got to get rid of all the weights. Get rid of all the weights. He said, you got to lay all that aside. It's time to run now. You don't want anything to hinder you. You don't want anything to slow you down. Amen. Get rid of everything that's just going to weight you down. Now, that doesn't mean it's a sin. I mean, there are some people, it's not a sin to be around, but they just weigh you down. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. Some people, they're so negative that they just weigh you down. Amen. You can be feeling good. When you get through talking to them, you won't be feeling good. Amen. You'll be up. You got a lot of faith. And you get through talking to them, man, you're scraping bottom just like them. Amen. Some associations are not good. That's a weight. Some things you got to lay aside. Amen. Praise God. Now, that doesn't mean you got to turn them off. You don't make enemies out of them. You just don't spend as much time with them because you just got to lay some things aside. Amen. Some associations. And then there are some things that you just like. Amen. Chocolate cake. Amen. Coconut cream pie. Oh, that's good stuff. Amen. Chocolate anything. There's something you gotta lay aside if you're going to run the race. Amen. It'd be hard for me to run right now. Believe it or not, when I was younger, I could run. I could run like a deer. Now I run, people say, oh dear. How life changes. Amen. Praise God. Hey, I'm going to work on it, and I'm going to be a mere shadow of my former self one of these days. Amen. I might take to the rapture, but I'm in the arena, and I'm trying. Amen. I want you to know I've lost 200 pounds and then gained it right back. I gained 5, I lost 5 and gained it back, and 2 more with it. And then I'd lose 10, and I'd get 12 back. Amen. So I'm in the arena, though. I'm still trying. Starting tomorrow. That's the best time to start a diet. It's tomorrow. I've learned that lesson. Praise God. But there are some things we've got to lay aside. Amen. praise God, some things that maybe somebody else does and you would enjoy doing, but you say, what? I really don't have the time for that. If I want to do that, I'm going to have to take the time from something else. And I'm already stretched as thin as I can be. I'll have to take the time from something better to give it to something less worthy. And so you say, no, I'm just going to leave that alone. Amen. Sometimes I'd like to have some toys, and I'd like to, and maybe someday I will, I don't know, but every time it gets right down to it, I come right down and I think, boy, it'd be nice to have that, but where would I get the time? Where would I get the time? Amen. So I just have to lay some things aside, because I'm running a race. I can't let anything get in my way. Can't let anything slow me down. Amen. Praise God. And then he said, lay aside sin. Lay aside sin. If there's anything that'll hinder you in this race, it's sin. It'll rob you of your strength. It will bleed you dry of spirit and faith and peace and joy and righteousness. It'll strip all that away from you, and you'll find yourself so weak that you can hardly stand. If you're going to run this race, you've got to get rid of the sin. I said, you can't run this race with sin. You've got to get rid of it. Amen. It may cost you dearly. Amen. You may fight with everything that's in you, but keep fighting. Keep fighting. Don't give in. Don't give up. Don't accept things. There was a woman one time that had battled a habit in her life, and finally she told me, she said, God told me that was all right for me. No, He did not. She just gave up. She just gave in. She just quit. She just deceived herself. God will never give you permission to sin. You're better than that. I said, you're better than that. And those that ran before us, they're better than that. They're telling you, don't give in. Don't give up. Hold on. Fight on. Amen. You fall down. Get back up. Spit the dirt out of your mouth. Spit the blood out of your mouth. Brush off your knees and your elbows and get back up and fight on. Don't stop. Don't quit. Don't give up. Amen. He said, you've got to lay some things aside. Amen. And then he said, you've got to run with patience. By patience, he means faithful endurance. You remember the story of the tortoise and the hare? Or the turtle and the rabbit, depending on which one you heard. Amen. You remember the old rabbit? He was fast. Man, he had it made. He ran the race. He got near to the finish line, and he laid down and cooled his heels. He said, that turtle's so far behind me, he'll never catch up now. I'm going to lay here in the shade till he gets real close, and then I'm going to jump up and I'm going to cross right in front of him, and I'm going to win the race. Amen. But if you remember the story, the old turtle, you know, we need to learn a lesson from the turtle. Turtle doesn't make any progress until he sticks his neck out. Amen. You don't make much progress in life till you stick your neck out. Amen. Turtles can't run with their head back in the shell. They got to stick their neck out and get those clumsy feet out there. And he's digging and he's slow. But I tell you what, he was steady. And he had a lot of endurance. He just kept on clawing his way toward the finish line. Amen. He wasn't worried about anybody else. He said, I just got to get there. Somehow I'm going to cross the finish line. And he just kept on crawling and clawing until he got so close. And the tortoise woke up, or the hare woke up, and he was just about to cross the finish line. And he hurried, but he didn't hurry fast enough. There are some folks that are going to do that in this race. Amen. They're going to sleep. They're going to fold their hands. And they're going to say, right before the rapture, I'm going to make it. just before the trumpet sounds, I'm going to get back in the church. I'm going to go sow my wild oats while I'm young. But then when I get older, I'm going to come back and I'm going to serve the Lord. Let me tell you something tonight, and you hear me very carefully. Amen. You'll always go further than you intend to go, and you'll always stay longer than you intended to stay, and it'll always cost you more than you intended to pay, and it'll always be harder to get back than you thought it was going to be. And the saddest thing of all is you may make it back, but your children and your grandchildren may not make it back. You better think before you give up. You better think before you crawl out of the arena. You better think before you give in to sin and throw in the towel. Because it's going to cost you more than you ever dreamed that you would pay. Hey, stay in the race. Stay in the race. You know, the word race is very interesting. The Greek word is agone. We use the English translation would be agony. Sometimes this race is agony. It describes a contest or a conflict. It describes a fight. It describes a race. It's synonymous with all. It's translated as all of those. It's just whenever we are pitted against competitors and against enemies, and we're trying to win a race or a conflict that we're involved in. Amen. This is a race, folks, that we got to win. We can't give up. Amen. Dig in. Amen. Make up your mind. Amen. I don't know how long it's going to be. I don't know how long it's going to be. But I know that I've got to make it. And I'm going to make it somehow. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I read about a runner in a race, and he was the guy that was last. He was the anchor man, and he was the fastest, and he was the best. And whenever the baton was handed off to him, he got it in his hand. But somehow, when it went forward, it slipped out of his hand, and it fell down to the track. And he started trying to pick it up, and he kicked it with his foot in his attempt to quickly grab the baton, and it flew off into the infield, and he was disqualified from the race. He was crushed because everyone was depending on him. And he felt like not only did he let down his running mates, but it was that contest was for 3 days worth of track events. The high jumpers and the hurdlers and the shot putters and the discus throwers and all of them, he let everybody down because he dropped the baton. And he felt so bad. Felt so bad. But he didn't give up. That summer, he trained like he'd never trained before. He ran like he'd never run before. He gave up things. He got his body as fit and as tuned as he knew how to make it. Amen. He did everything he knew how to do. Amen. And he got one more chance. The next year it was the same thing. It was the state meet. And the whole thing boiled down. If we win this mile relay, we'll win the whole thing. But if we don't win this relay, we lose. And he's the anchor man again. It all boils down to how he runs the race. So the first man runs, and the second man runs, and the third man runs. Finally, he feels the slap of the baton in his hand, and he begins to run. And he runs with everything he's got.
He holds tightly to that baton. He makes sure that he does not drop it again. And he's running with everything that he's got. He comes around the final leg of the journey, and there's one man in front of him. And he's given everything that he has. And he's getting closer. He draws within a foot and then 6 inches. But they're getting close to the finish line. And then all of a sudden it feels like he just runs into a wall. And in his mind he's thinking, I don't have anything left. I've given it everything that I have. And it's not good enough. And the cheers coming from the stands and the bleachers. And everybody screaming his name. Saying, come on, you can do it. And he's trying to find it. But he just don't have anything left. And he looks and there's his parents and they're calling his name and saying, come on, son, we're proud of you. You can do it. Hold on. Just give it a little bit more. You're almost there. And still, he just can't do it. And all of a sudden, he sees his coach, that man that believed in him, the one that gave him a chance when he failed, the one that didn't kick him off the team when he could have, the one that encouraged him and said, yeah, you blew it, but you're going to get another chance, and you can make it the next time. And he said, I believe in you, son. I know you can do it. Come on, give it all you've got. Somehow he digs down, and he finds something that he didn't even know that he had, and he pushes through. His chest touches the tape, just inches in front of his competitor. He falls to the ground exhausted. But he realizes, I won the race. And when he looks up, he sees tears running down the cheeks of that old coach, and he's jumping up and down. And he's saying, I knew you could do it. He said, well done. Folks, that's the importance of prayer. And that's the importance of knowing the Bible. Because there's times that you feel like you're bucking the wind. And you just wonder, it's just tough today. It's hard today. I got to make it. I know I've got to make it. I need some inspiration from somewhere. Amen. That's why the next verse says that you got to look unto Jesus. Amen. Look away from the cross, the old song said, to the glittering crown. You got to take your eyes off of the difficulties, and you got to focus on Him. Amen. Here's what the Bible said about it. It said He's the author. He's the pioneer. He's the trailblazer. He's the way maker. He's the door. Amen. He said, you look to Him. He's the one that made the way. He's the one that said, I am the way. You look to Him. Amen. You don't get your eyes on the preacher. You don't get your eyes on the saints. You don't get your eyes on anybody else. You keep your focus on Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, not only is He the beginner and the author and the finisher and the pioneer and the trailblazer and the way maker and the way, but it said He's the finisher. You know what He said from the cross? What did He say? He said, it is finished. Hallelujah. He's not a quitter. He's not just a starter, but He's a finisher. Finished what He started. And the Bible said that he endured, everybody say endured. He endured the cross, despising the shame. You ever think about the shame of the cross? When they ripped His clothes off of His body, beat Him within an inch of His life, hung Him up on a cross like a common thief. You talk about shame and ignominy. Very hung between heaven and earth, the Creator. Shame. But it says that he endured the cross, despising the shame for the joy that was set before Him. You see, He kept His eyes on the prize. He said, this is just for a little while. I've got to go through. Everybody say through. I've got to go through this. His mind wasn't, He wasn't going to stop in the middle. He wasn't going to stop in somewhere at the end. But He said, I'm going to go through this. Amen. And on the other side of this, there's a waiting joy. So he pressed on. And that's how you run the race. You keep your eyes on Jesus. Because he's the author, he's the finisher. Amen. You want to finish this? Keep your eyes on the finisher. Hallelujah. It's good to hear Samson. Hey, it's good to hear Paul. It's good to hear John. It's good to hear James. It's good to hear Peter. It's good to hear all these people. Amen. But the one that matters most is the coach. Hallelujah. The one that's going to tell you one of these days, he's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Let's stand together. Amen. Praise God. Young people, you're going to enter the conflict tomorrow. Amen. But you know what? The grace that you've got is going to keep you. I said the grace you've got is going to keep you. You understand, when you get up in the morning and you get ready to go to school, you got to remember that you're a king's kid. You're not like everybody else. You can't be like everybody else. They can do what they want to do. They can talk like they want to talk. They can do whatever they're big enough to do. But you can't. Because you're a king's kid. Amen. And you're trying to bring honor and glory to the name of your good father. Amen. So you don't give in. Amen. Don't let the peer pressure get to you. Amen. Stand tall for Jesus Christ. Know that you're running a race. And you got a crowd of witnesses. You got a home church. You got a pastor. And they're all praying for you. And they're all rooting for you. And they're all telling you, you can make it. You can do it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Let's finish the race that we've started. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody needs some encouragement. Somebody needs some fresh strength tonight. Amen. Let's run on. There's an altar here. Praise God. There's fresh faith. There's strength. There's endurance. Amen. There's refreshing just waiting for you here. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Every year they run marathons, Boston Marathon, New York Marathon, perhaps some of the most famous, over 26 miles, long race. And somebody wins. Somebody comes in first every year. But you know who I admire the most? Those fat boys. They said, "I may not be first, but I'm going to finish." After everybody else has gone home. Amen. And just their wife and kids are waiting at the finish line. But they come across. And they say, "I wasn't the fastest. And I wasn't the first. But I made it." Amen. You got to admire folks like that. There are people that do it in wheelchairs. And there's people that do it with a prosthesis on their leg. And there's all kinds of people that run the race. And there's just one that gets all the glory and all the headlines. But there's a lot of runners nobody ever knows about. But guess what? They finished. They finished. And it counts. It counts if you finish. Don't get your eyes on somebody that's faster. Don't get your eyes on somebody that's flashier. Don't look at somebody that can sing better than you, and somebody that you might think can pray better than you, and somebody that you just think is better. Don't get your eyes on them. You keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. That's how you finish this race. Praise God. Let me close. There's an altar if you see you need a little strength tonight. I think it'd be good if we'd just come up here and just take a few moments to talk to the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Lord, I thank you because you've challenged us here tonight to stay in the race. You've given us a reason tonight to stay in the race. We're getting a little closer. Help us stay in the race. Not to give up.
not to give in, not to give out, but help us to hold on. Struggle on.
March on
stride
to the battlefield.
Amen.
Lift
until
up my sword
finally
and say,
we arrive.
For the mountain is still, but it's not too deep. The valley
yes.
is low, but it's not too deep. I won't turn back, no, I won't turn back. For the battle is real, but it's not too long. The enemy is here, but he's not too strong. And I won't turn back, no, I won't turn back. Oh, the mountain is high, but it's not too deep. The valley is low, but it's not too deep. And I won't turn back, no,
oh, no.
I won't turn back. The battle is long, but it's not too long. The enemy is here, but he's not too strong. Sometimes we gotta stand alone. That's when I reach for my holy armor, take up my shield of faith, and march on to the battlefield. Lift up my sword and say, oh, the mountain is high, but it's not too steep. The valley is low, but it's not too deep. I won't turn back, no. Oh, I- I'm heaven bound. Oh, Satan, you're a liar. Jesus has all power. You can't bring me down. I'm heaven bound. Satan, you're a liar. Jesus has all power. You can't bring me down. I'm heaven bound. Satan, you're a liar. Jesus has all power. You can't bring me down. I'm heaven bound. My God is more than enough. He can supply all my needs. He is my El Shaddai. He always looks after me. Jehovah Jireh, He is my God. My God is more than enough. He can supply all my needs. He is my El Shaddai. He always looks after me. Jehovah Jireh, He is my God. Jehovah Jireh, He is my God. God is more than enough. He can supply all my needs. He is my El Shaddai. He always looks after me. Jehovah Jireh, He is my God. The God that He is one, not three. Almighty God in the flesh. He is my righteousness. Jehovah Jireh, He is my God. So why should I worry about the highs and the lows, the ups and the downs? But by my faith I know my God is more than enough. He can supply all my needs. He is my El Shaddai. He always looks after me. Jehovah Jireh, He is my God. So why should I worry about the highs and the lows, the ups and the downs? But by my faith I know that my God's more than enough. He can supply all my needs. He is my El Shaddai. He always looks after me. Jehovah Jireh,
Jehovah Jireh. Amen. God is my supply. God is my provider. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a fact that the Lord will supply. Somebody said it right, and they said it well. They said, Jesus is the answer. What's the question? Amen. He just is. Amen. The beauty of that statement is that Jesus doesn't just have the answer, but He is the answer. There's a whole lot of things, and I've heard people say they got all kinds of questions they're going to ask the Lord when they get to heaven. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God this and that. And let me tell you something. You won't ask one question, because you won't have to. When you get there, it's all going to be answered. Amen. It's all going to be answered. Praise God. But let me just take a moment of your time here tonight. I won't take a long time, but there's a couple of things we need as a body to solve. Amen. One thing is we have growing pains. Amen. We need a bus or a van to haul our young people. And we got to get the air conditioner fixed on the big van.